Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, Dan. How are you? Dan Graziano from ESPN.
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
Good. Yeah, we got
mean tweets.
Yeah, we got a mean tweet. I mean, it kind of hurts, you know? Some days they don't realize we're people too.
You just can't let it hurt. You just gotta wash that one right off.
Isn't that true, Dan?
Thanks, Dan.
Got to ignore the haters.
You know what? Yeah. I already feel better. We don't really probably need it. I just want to say this is the best interview we've ever done, and we appreciate your time. And
that's the flip side, though. You can't let that go to your head if somebody says something like that to you. You got to stay in the middle, right? That's the key.
See, that's the kind of level-headed stuff we're looking for out of this entire interview.
Dan, you're welcome back anytime. All right, so let's. And we haven't even asked you a question yet. Hey,
yeah.
Are you hearing anything
flawless
about,
so far?
Are you hearing anything about trades with one or four on the Browns?
Yeah, I mean, one not so much, but I think people are interested to see what happens at four. I mean, look, I mean, you hear crazy stuff, right? Would the Giants go up if they feel like somebody else might, you know, could the Browns do what like the 49ers did last year with the Bears and like trick the team right behind them into moving up because they think somebody else will? You know, I think that's far-fetched, right? I think the most likely scenario at number one, based on everything I've heard, is that they stay put and take a quarterback. And which one that is, I wish I knew, but I think that's the most likely. But four is interesting, especially if, let's say, for example, the Giants don't take a quarterback at two. Let's say they stay put and they take Saquon Barkley or Bradley Chubb. Jets take a quarterback. Now you have two of the big four left there at four. Browns aren't going to take another one, I don't think. So then that becomes an interesting pivot point. Does a team want to move up and get a quarterback at four? Does a team want to move up to the Broncos pick and get a quarterback at five? So I think four becomes really interesting, especially if the Giants don't take one and there are only two gone in the top three.
Dan, do you think that's the Browns' dream scenario, that the Giants do not take a quarterback and puts another quarterback in play at four? Or do you think they'd rather have their choice of Chubb or Barkley?
No, I think because the draft is all about value, right, and maximizing the value of your picks. So if quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, then the 4 pick is less valuable than if quarterbacks only go 1 and 3. So I think by definition, like you definitely would want that because that makes your number 4 pick worth that much more potentially in a trade because we're assuming that anyone who's coming up to 4 is doing so for a quarterback. If that's not the case, then it doesn't matter, but I think if you assume that your best leverage point, if you're the Browns, is to be sitting there at four with multiple teams trying to scramble and get up there to get a quarterback, then you're better off if the Giants haven't taken one and there are more available. Supply and demand.
All right, Dan, who do you think they will take one? Because I think we're all sitting around here trying to figure this thing out.
You want
to
know.
If I knew that, like you would have seen it on SportsCenter this morning, right? Like I'm not going to. I mean, I like you guys, but I'm not like saving the. You know, I'm going to break this on the radio at noon. No, I mean, look, it's
some darts from Cleveland.
It's everything you hear is it's either Josh Allen or Sam Darnold, and it's hard to know for sure. You can parse what Dorsey said yesterday and convince yourself it's Josh Allen. You know, he's talking about hand size and all this stuff. But, you know, if they've made up their minds, then they're still doing a pretty good job of keeping it a secret because I don't know anyone who feels 100% confident saying who they think they're going to take at number one.
Dan Graziano from ESPN joining us. Dan, with that thought in mind, I've heard folks say, you know, no quarterback has separated himself from the others. Mm. But I've also heard folks say, and I want your thought on this, that these four quarterbacks are better than most of the quarterbacks who have come out the last several years, and that's why no one has separated themselves. Where does this class rank in your thought?
Well, I think you got to look big picture, right? Because now we're in the middle of the silly season, and you've heard of these guys being picked apart for months now. You go back a year, and what people were saying was, oh, next year's class, that's the one, right? So you look at it in like a 2 or 3 year window. I mean, people have been anticipating these guys for a while. There's lots to like about all of them. And I would even include Lamar Jackson as a guy that you know, he's going to go in the first round at some point. And I think, you know, he's the guy that had more success playing a quarterback position in college than any of those other four did. So I think this is a good class, and it's probably, if you go back a year, most evaluators would have told you they like this year's class better than last year's. And we saw obviously what Deshaun Watson did, and Trubisky showed some good things, and Kansas City is excited about Mahomes. So if that's all true and this class is better, then that's very exciting, and that's probably one of the reasons, as you mentioned, why they haven't separated themselves. But the other thing is they're just so different. You know, Josh Allen is this massive, strong-armed, you know, raw prospect that coaches and GMs look at and say, boy, what he could be is really fascinating. He's not that yet, and we don't know if he ever will be, but what he could be if he fulfills his potential, if he plays to his physical gifts, is special, is history-making. Whereas Darnold is a guy that's been, you know, an electrifying guy at times at USC. He's had some turnover issues. Rosen is a guy that has been sort of the chosen one for years. I mean, since he was coming out of high school, and we've heard the reasons he's been dinged during this process, and he's had some injury issues. And then Mayfield is the smaller guy that's got the more recent pedigree in terms of what he accomplished. So I just think they're all different, and I think that's probably the main reason no one separated themselves. Quarterback is a very subjective thing. Very seasoned and qualified evaluators could look at these four and rank them all differently. And who's to say which one's right and which one's not? But I think it's a good class. It's a deep class at the top. And I think it's fair to expect that more than one of these guys becomes a good NFL starting quarterback.
Dan, if you were the general manager here, would you roll the dice and go for the guy who could be, as you described him, you know, historically good? Or do you take, well, we know this guy will be at least a good starting quarterback for 8 to 10 years. Which way would you go?
Personally, and I say this, and people tell me, people in the business tell me, well, this is why you're not a scout. And they're right. I would be hard for me to risk something like the number one overall pick on a guy who's as raw as Josh Allen is. And again, let's be honest here. I mean, are we 100% sure he's going to have the same coaching staff in place in year two as he has in year one? You know, Cleveland, obviously, a lot of history there of turnover in those positions. You know, are you going to take a guy, number one, who's a project, and then who are you putting him with to develop? And are you going to change that up on him early in his career? And what effect is that going to have? Just too many variables. I would take a guy I felt better about as closer to a finished product, a guy like a Josh Rosen, you know, who, and again, you'd have to get comfortable with his health issues. You know, a shoulder problem a couple of years ago, that's alarming, and concussions. But, you know, if you could clear him on the health stuff, I think he's the guy I'd feel safer about taking. And that's my perspective as someone who, you know, doesn't have that scout's eye and doesn't get enamored the way a scout or someone with a scouting background might when they see the incredible things Josh Allen can do.
Let's talk about number four a little bit, because I think it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out if it goes quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. If you were the Browns, what would you be thinking at four if it does go quarterback, quarterback, quarterback?
I like the pass rusher. I would go with Chubb. I just think that's a higher value pick at that point in the draft than running back. And everybody loves Barkley, and I've watched Barkley play, and I love him too. But, you know, running back that high. I mean, you take a running back in the top four, just look at the contract. Like, he's going to be like the fourth or fifth highest paid running back in the NFL based on the average annual value of his contract if he's a top five pick. So you want to do that with a running back, and then 4 years from now you have to extend him off of what's going to be like at that point like a $9 million, $10 million salary. I just think it's tough to spend that high a pick on a running back given how much evidence there is that you can find a star running back later. Le'Veon Bell was not a first-round pick. LeSean McCoy was not a first-round pick. Just look last year. Alvin Kamara, who was Rookie of the Year, and Kareem Hunt, who led the league in rushing, both third-round rookies last year. You know, you don't have to do the running back in the first round. So if I had a pass rusher like Bradley Chubb that I felt great about, I would take him and just put him on the line with Myles Garrett and just, you know, terrify quarterbacks for the next 10 years.
And is that especially true because of the depth of running back in this draft?
Yeah, but again, the depth of running back in this draft and the history that says that you don't need a top five pick to secure your franchise running back. Yes, look, the last couple of years, Ezekiel Elliott and Leonard Fournette have been great picks for those teams, and maybe that Barkley's better than them, and then they could take him and be thrilled they did. But you don't have to. You can find not just productive running back, but star running back later in the draft. And I think that's why if you have a player who can do something as valuable as rush the passer, and he's sitting there, and you have him, if you have him graded somewhat equally, that's the way I would lean personally.
Dan, I know you covered the Giants for a long time there. What do you think they're going to do? Because obviously that impacts.
I think they're going to mess it up.
You think so? Are you sure you're not a lifelong Clevelander? Because that's what we say around here.
I just think they're crazy if they don't take a quarterback. Their quarterback is 37 years old. Ideally, you're not picking this high again anytime soon. You know, even if you think Eli Manning has a year or two left, this is your opportunity to secure it. You don't know what's going to be available in the draft in 2-3 years. And you may have to trade up to get it, whatever it is. Instead of just using one pick to secure a potential successor, you might have to use multiple. And in the meantime, you could suffer as a result of not having done it. So I think that's what they should do. But I don't think it's what they're going to do. I think their second best choice would be to trade the pick for a king's ransom. But, of course, that assumes you get one. If they get a great offer, I think they could trade out. But if they stay put, I think they're going to take either Barkley or Chubb.
It's fascinating stuff. You know, yesterday we heard John Dorsey talking about, you know, groupthink with the Browns. And my thought was, oh, please, dear God, no. Just go ahead and draft the guy. You have your scouting staff. Don't bring everybody's opinion into it. Go ahead and make your choice. And I hope that's the way he approaches it, Dan.
I think it will be. I mean, look, he's new. And you know, he's first-time GM. They hired him to make this pick. I mean, this is, you know, he's not going to – I'm sure he'll listen to his people. He brought in all his people, and I'm sure he trusts, you know, all his advisors, the Elliott Wolfs, Alonzo Highsmith, all these guys that he brought in, and he should have listened to him, but it's going to be his decision. And you're right. Look, I mean, these press conferences that happen the week before the draft, they're fun sometimes, but they are not worth paying attention to. I mean, like, no one says anything in these that and people parse them for clues, and it's to our detriment to do so. But they're out there trying to misdirect. I mean, this is a fun time of year for a general manager to stand up there and be able to just sort of. I mean, you saw Dave Gettleman with the Giants yesterday laughing at half the questions because it was an opportunity for him to just sort of say one thing and then say another thing a minute later that contradicted it and just make sure no one's on the scent. So I think that's where we are. And I would. I mean, Dorsey's going to make his pick. I wouldn't worry about John Dorsey getting swayed by public opinion or consensus outside the building.
All right, Dan, what sports center should we be watching to see who you're going to tell us who the Browns are going to pick?
I don't think I'll have it by 1:30, but we do have NFL Live today at 1:30, and I'll be on Sports Center on the weekends. And if I find out, I guarantee you I'll let you guys know somehow or another.
You're the man, Dan. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Hope you don't get any mean tweets today either. Thanks, man.
Yeah, well, that would be a first. Thank you.
Goodbye, Dan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.